I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome in Casey Johnson, writes for the Chicago Tribune, also works for NBC Sports Chicago. What's up, Casey? How you doing?
Steiny, I left the Tribune 6 years ago.
Come on, man.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You can't play that when he's not here.
He's around listening.
He can't even defend himself.
Oh, I can.
Yeah. Because you guys crush me when I'm out. Oh, my God.
Well, so someone thought I was taking a shot at you. I think it was a couple Fridays ago.
Somebody
in the crossover.
Defended me? Yeah.
No, Bonte thought that I was taking a shot at you because I had a gripe about – one of my gripes was that Kendrick Perkins was doing a video in his car about Bill Simmons. And he was, you know, mad at him. But he was in a suit with his seatbelt on. And I just hated it. Like, my gripe was videos that are taken in cars. And someone was like, oh, is that a shot at Goo? And I was like, well, I kindly let you know that.
I talked to him. That's my brother. But I do mine with the seatbelt off. The one on Saturday, the seatbelt was off, Evan.
You can't look like you're in the carpool lane when you're doing a video.
You're going to post
on the internet.
Yeah, I'm like, they love my new shirt I got from the store. And then the comments were all about the traffic. I go, what traffic? And the picture got the traffic, Evan. That's all they care about. I'm like, people see everything, man.
Before we dig back into this, I do need a piece of advice from you.
All right. And I give it to you raw and uncut.
I know. This is why we got a couple more days together. How do you apologize to a friend about texting them about hanging out with another friend? Like, I got two friends in my phone that are both J's.
Okay.
And one J had asked me about hanging out today a couple weeks ago. I said yes, yada, yada. And then another friend whose name is closely related, J, texts me a couple days ago and says, hey, I'm only going to be in town for one night. Do you want to hang? And I was like, ugh. So thinking I'm texting the first J, I text the second one. And I said, hey, what do you want to do? And my buddy's looking at me like, dude, I'm the wrong guy.
Oh, no. Now, like, there's still positivity in my answer. Go ahead, E, because I don't feel like you did anything.
I felt so awkward.
But you shouldn't have if you and the potential friend had potential plans. You didn't have anything concrete.
Well, we did.
Oh, boy.
And I had to renege. I had
After
to back
you
out.
Sit-
but I had told him essentially that I was backing out.
I'm going to back off.
Thank you, priest. And I just felt weird about it.
You should. Now, one would, the way you handle business or conduct yourself, professional, young, I would think you would have the cojones just to be out in front of it and tell the other friend, I'm not going.
But
the new millennium. That's
well,
what
this
you guys
is where
do.
You're a bigger man than me.
This is what you guys do.
Literally and figuratively, but it's, I'm a poodle. I'm going to admit it. I'm a poodle.
But you're worse than that because you stepped in it by sitting like, what did you respond?
I said, my bad. Didn't realize I sent this to you. Just a heads up. I'm not going to be able to make it tonight.
Right. Ian, I think he knew that.
And
wow.
He said, yeah, I got the gist. Have a good night. All right. Let's get back to the topic at hand. We're talking about a time that you saw someone and you look back and you go, wow, I saw the next up. I saw the person who was next up. I saw Tarek Skubal when he was in the minor leagues. He's now the best pitcher in baseball. Goose saw Brandon Pajemski in college when he was a teammate of Lil D's. Who you got? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Ben in Berkeley. Ben, how we doing? Good afternoon.
Thanks. Thank you very much. This is a great show. I was going to say, when I was at UCLA, it was 1997, and we were in the Wooden Center, and Magic Johnson's there with Shaquille O'Neal, Rick Fox, and Matt Barnes, and we're watching Baron Davis versus Kobe Bryant play one-on-one.
Come on, and, man!
And then Baron Davis goes up to dunk on Kobe, but they're both kind of stuck in the air, like hovering, and then Kobe comes down a little bit, and Baron Davis just dunks all over him. I just flushes, and everyone's like, oh, my God, and all the UCLA players are there, and everyone's like, holy moly, like Baron Davis is coming to UCLA. Kobe Bryant hangs out here all the time. Tupac was there all the time, just to drop another one. But when I was in high school, I got to watch and Jason Kidd play baseball on the same team as me, so of course I watched him play point guard. So when he was a freshman, Mark Ibanez was there doing interviews. Everybody knew he was going to be the real deal. And then he played against Steve Nash at Santa Clara. That was obvious. And when Steph came out of Davidson, I remember saying, who's going to get that guard out of Davidson? I think a lot of people thought Steph was going to be good, maybe not as good as he is right now. But what's even funnier is that, oh, yeah, and in Alameda, J.R. Ryder was here. I played baseball against J.R. Ryder. So when he did the East Bay Funk, I was like, oh, there's that guy that used to – him and Lamont all the time. Me and Lamont were on the same team. J.R. was 1 year older. And it's Lamont.
That was my buddy,
brother.
Lamont. Yeah.
Hell, yeah, Lamont Ryder's the best, man. And you know what's even crazier? So at St. Joe's cut Damian Lillard. Can you believe that?
Ouch.
So sometimes it goes the other way, too. So – you know, Dame Lillard had to go to Arroyo out here before he blew up, and now he's darn near the best of ever that's ever done it. So you guys have a great show. I'll see you guys later.
Hey, good stuff.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate the call.
What if I told you I have, guys, right now, no doubt, the UCLA envy of watching Baron, a young versus Kobe, with Wes Shaq and who else, Barnes in the crowd. Like, man, it had to be a beautiful day in L.A., man.
Well, it sounds like he was aware of who these players were. You know, and again, I think if he wasn't, that's even cooler. Because you're like, damn, I didn't realize I just saw Kobe and B. Diddy.
Right.
Well, get a little close there. Baron Davis.
Yeah. He got off. Well,
one-on-one. Yeah, we're going to leave that aside. Yeah. All right, let's go to Sharif in Martinez. Sharif, what's going on? What do you got?
How's it going? Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
When I was just thinking about kind of your question, I was like, a player that kind of outperformed what maybe their expectation was from the Miami Hurricanes, Frank Gore, tearing two ACLs, and then becoming one of the all-time leading rushers in the NFL.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
Well, right on, Sharif. Yeah,
that's what
no
you
doubt.
Call redemption.
Yeah, or no
if
doubt.
What's the other word, too, when you come back and you're hurt?
Well, you resurrect your career. Okay, so this was one that I was waiting. I was waiting to hold over people, but I can't do it because this player turned out to be a bust. And this player was Trey Lance. So I covered Trey Lance in North Dakota when he was a true freshman. He wasn't even the quarterback.
Talk to me.
And he was one of my favorite players to go talk to because he was kind, he was well-spoken, he was approachable, and as the backup quarterback, he was always available. So you could always go talk to Trey. And at the time, I was working at a small radio station in Fargo, and you couldn't really get any of the big boys. It's a little bit like it is here, just on a smaller scale, where like, the main quarterback, the big wide receiver, the linebackers, like all those guys get a ton of reporters and TV people. Might come as a shock to those hearing about Fargo, but those players would all get covered. The Trey Lances of the world, I could just walk right up to and
come
stick a microphone in their face and say, hey, Trey, what do you think about Northern Iowa this weekend? And I was hoping so bad that he would turn out to be something so that I could say, I saw Trey Lance before any of you. And now, unfortunately, at a party, I have to go, yeah, I saw Trey Lance before any of you.
But even the night of the draft, though, I think you could have did that.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I was sending a lot of text messages.
That Bonte and Butch audio of after the first practice with them, that was incredible. But, man, it'll be hard to top that one, Evan, or that won't rank because Trey didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
No, that one's not going to – not one.
But he got drafted.
Well, people in San Francisco are going to know who he is forever, but not for the right reasons.
Right,
you know?
Okay. Yeah. Look at you, the right reasons.
Yeah, I was hoping that he would be great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He wasn't. Let's go to Drew in Sunnyvale. Drew, what's going on, my man? What do you got?
Hey, guys. Great show. Great topic. Yeah, Aaron Gordon and I were actually in the same graduating class at Archbishop Mitty. Back in the day, and I mean, just watching him, it was otherworldly watching him in high school. But you never quite knew it would translate to the pros. We knew he was highly rated, but like a guy from San Jose, you know, becoming a professional athlete was kind of one in a million, right? The only guy out of San Jose who ever got to those heights, probably Joey Chestnut, right? So. I mean, he was so good in high school that he never had to shoot. He would always take guys off the dribble, jump right over them. Like it was amazing to watch. And I mean, yeah, the only question was, could he shoot at the next level, right? And that's the one thing that he really struggled with. But like watching him in these playoffs, especially him hitting that big three to win the game one versus OKC, that brought me like so much pride to where like, hey, you can be like the number one player in your high school class, still have flaws, and then come out the other side.
Yeah,
you know, be like ultimate pro player. And I wish Jonathan Kuminga could learn a thing or two from that as well. You know, that's just my take on it. But super proud of Aaron Gordon. Thanks,
hey, appreciate
guys.
It, man.
Thanks, Drew.
Now, again, and Evan, this was I love the question. It was yours, but I can't steal that man's thoughts that you shared with the nation, everybody listening. But if I said Gordon was the fourth pick in a NBA draft, even if he couldn't shoot, would you say? You know, getting picked that high, greatness was within his reach.
Sure, but I think he's saying he saw him in high school.
Okay, all right,
you know,
I got it.
He saw that player in high school, and again,
you're,
like,
you are right.
You know, I'm trying to think of the best player from my area. Might have been like around my grade was like Ivan Rabb. He went to O'Dowd.
Yeah,
really good player, great high school player, solid college player. But in high school, he was better than everybody. But I wasn't looking at him like, oh, I think he's going to be something
KG,
great.
I
think he turned out to be a second-round pick. And,
yeah.
You know, he's still playing. But, like,
played for the Grizz.
You never know what those players are going to turn into. Aaron Gordon was a top recruit, went to Arizona, was on, I think, a one seed, was a really good college player. But you never know what those players are going to turn into.
That's amazing, man.
Let's go to Christian. Is in Fairfield. Let's talk about, a couple big boys. Hey, Christian, how we doing?
Yeah, there's two legendary ones here, Evan.
What's
I'm
up?
I'm doing good. Hey, did you get your raise? Fat Joe paid $74,000 for those courtside seats. I'm team Evan needs a raise, guru.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I'm going to try to see what I can, but I'm working on myself first. Did that come out?
You too, man. I'm team guru, too. You know that.
Not that much, Christian. Thanks, man.
I'll start with the basketball one first. Yeah. And, 92-93, I played for San Francisco State. We played Santa Clara, and Steve Nash was a freshman when I was a freshman. He had like 11, and I had 13, and there was a number 20 on their team that was like a Kuminga. He was running by everyone and dunking, and the walk-on on San Francisco State is Ben Baller, Ben Yang, the famous jeweler. So we were looking at Nash when he got drafted like, huh? He only averaged 8 as a freshman, so that was a leap. That was impressive, yeah. And then Goo, you're going to understand this one probably a little bit more than Evan because we're the same age. JV, I went to Club 181 in 1995 in the Tenderloin. We were bored. It was a Tuesday. Me and my friend who ran track, he was from L.A. Jay-Z opened up for Smooth the Hustler and Conscious Daughters. He was in a green army fatigue, and we were booing him.
Dude,
my boy from L.A. was screaming South Central.
Right. That's incredible. Conscious Daughters,
he was
man.
Fast.
Man.
Yeah, Goo. he was rapping fast, you know, the Fushnikin style rap. Smooth the Hustler had broken language. He was in there with the so he had the whole 50 people of the crowd rocking, and then, you know, Conscious Daughters did their little swing.
And let me ask you this. Which one shocked you more, Jay-Z being Jay-Z, the King, or Nash having the career he had? Because it's almost a tie for me.
I got to go with Jay-Z. He made me a fan, being from the West
Coast. I'm with you.
Seeing him going from getting booed in the Tenderloin to being one of the greatest ever.
Tupac made me hate on Jay-Z, and then I realized, Two's pretty good. Right?
Thanks, Christian.
Yeah. I transferred to Brooklyn College and made me a Jay-Z fan.
Way to fit in.
Right. That's on. Well, smart for you. Definitely came a long ways from booing the guy. Imagine
Jay-Z opening up Conscious Daughters, looking at my Jay-Z? Carpet flex on Vernon.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of a player that, somebody that, like, you didn't think was going to be good that ended up becoming great.
This, like, it's not easy, Evan. You had to be in a position to, like, Ken, you only had one, huh?
You also, like, have to be judgmental.
Well, you had three. You're right. I had Pods, Eddie House.
No. I'm talking about the inverse, which is you see someone, you're like, I don't really know about that guy. And then that person ends up being something ridiculous. Like, that list might be longer than the flip side.
And you're right on the Aaron Gordon. The caller called and said, I saw him in high school, goo, not when he got picked in the lottery. So he had seen something then.
Well, he is a representative of the South Bay. All right, Will is in Marin.
Will.
Will, what's up, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I got two. So the first one was in 2017. I saw Aaron Judge hit an absolute bomb against Oakland in the Coliseum, and I didn't. And at the time, he was having a really good season, but the year prior, he had like a 179 batting average, had single-digit home runs, and it just, he was the first player that I watched that just, like, because I grew up watching Barry Bonds, and when he was holding a baseball bat in his hand, it just looked like a toothpick, and it was the same thing from Judge, like the power, like the sound of the way that the ball just came off the bat was just different. The way it just echoed and ricocheted through the Coliseum, and just how effortlessly his swing was to just park it dead center. It was just like, he's going to be absolutely special. And then my second one, it was sick. And then my second one is, I was a huge fan of Dom Kennedy, and I went to his concert, and it was $18. It was me, my buddy Ryan McNichol, one of our buddies Shane, and a few girls that we went with, just having fun. And the opening act was Kendrick Lamar. But mind you, this was before Kendrick was Kendrick. This was like in the backpack day. So I was literally close. Like, my homeboy was close to like Post Malone. Like, we were right there on stage. He was right there, and he was really good. But, like, it was like a few years later, he switched up his flow. My homie Ryan McNichol, I'll never forget this. He was like, yo, is this the same Kendrick Lamar we saw for $15? And I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, dude, his flow is completely different. And my homie Shane was still there. He's like, yeah, we ain't going to be able to see him for $15 no more. But no, it was awesome, though. Wow. It was a great experience. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Memories, Z.
Nice job, Will.
Kendrick Lamar. We got to keep it right. And I've always been a fan, but I didn't know he was headed this to where he is now, the King.
No.
One of them.
Well, he's special, but.
On the flip side, real quick, I saw Dom Kennedy for like $30.
You thought he stunk.
No. Kendrick Lamar had just came out with Good Kid, Mad City, and he brought him out as a special guest.
Wow, Dom still flowing. LA rapper.
Amazing.
Yeah, Dom is tight.
All right, let's wrap these up. We got a couple minutes left until the crossover.
Steiny could be mad he missed out on this one.
Oh, he'll be back tomorrow. Yeah. He's rich with love.
Yeah, that is a good drop.
Yeah, let's get nuts. All right, Will's in Livermore. Will, what up?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So the year was 1983, the summer of 1983. I was a master's student in Kansas State University. I used to play basketball at Ahern Fieldhouse, just pick up games.
Wow.
This day I went into the fieldhouse. It was closed. Fellow there, it's an empty campus because it's in between sessions in summer. He said, no, we have a practice here of the Pan Am team, U.S. Pan Am team. And he allowed me to go there and see them scrimmage. I was looking at this guy just jumping off the gym and just scoring, stealing balls. I mean, I figured this is somebody special, but I never found out who he was until I was later on a PhD student in University of Illinois, and I went to a Chicago Bulls game. It happened to be Michael Jordan that I saw that day.
Come on,
1983
man.
At a Herndon Field House. It was Jack Hartman was the coach. He was the coach of the Pan Am team, and they won the gold medal. That was quite a thing to see.
I'll bet.
Dude, that's incredible. Jordan.
Saw Mike.
Yeah. Had a pretty good little career.
Yeah, safe to say he turned out.
Yeah.
See, but that is crazy, though. Again, like, there's no social media. There's no video. He sees this kid. He's like, wow, that guy's unbelievable. And then a couple of years later in Chicago, he's like, wait a minute.
Dude.
That was that guy from the gym who's scoring 37
wow,
a night.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. All right, let's wrap this up with Omar, who's in Alameda. Omar, what do you got?
How you doing, guys? Man, I got two people, man. It was 2011, my freshman year at McClymonds High School. And I heard about Marcus Peters, but I really didn't know a lot about him.
Mm.
And I didn't play football. I played basketball and baseball. Long story short, he was doing his thing on the football field. Obviously, went on to go to University of Washington. But basketball season comes around. I'm playing JV. This dude plays varsity. And he's not that tall. He's about 6 feet probably. And he was doing wing mills, man. He was doing what they call it, an East Bay between the leg. And I'm looking at him like, man, this dude is a stud. And then baseball season comes around, and he comes out to play baseball. And I'm a pitcher and shortstop. Then this dude is playing center field, tracking balls down, pitched a couple games. I was just like, man. And then we obviously know he went on to be a first-round pick, Kansas City, and I think he played for – I think the Rams and a few teams. And that same year when I was playing baseball, we had an ex, our coach played in the minors. His name is Marcel Johnson. He used to bring his son with him. He was only like 12 years old. His name was Osiris Johnson. Man, this dude was like 11, 12 years old practicing with us. And fast forward 2018, he's a first round pick out of Ensenada High School.
Wow.
By the Miami Marlins. I don't think his career panned out. He's still in the farm system. But I remember seeing that kid at third base at like 11, 12 years old. I was like, man, this kid's going to be special. And he ended up being a first-round pick out of Ensenada High School. And it just shows you never know who you're around.
Man, that's beautiful.
No doubt,
and
Omar.
And Marcus Peters was a baller.
Marcus DB, Peters, yeah, that's right. Yeah, West Oakland.
Yeah, with the West. Remember, he almost went at the dude in the stands. He was on the Rams. He's like, where you from, homie? I was like, he was in a uniform. He pulled up on him like, man, that was real. Yeah, Google that, Marcus Peters. He was a baller, man.
Oh, he was incredible. Yeah, growing up, especially when he was at the Chiefs.
And jumped the routes with the best of them.
He was a cat burglar, as you'd like to say. But he bet right quite
and that
a bit.
That's great.
Yeah, when he bet, he was spot on. He was damn good for some time. All right, I do want to get the boys' thoughts on the other side. And look, we had a lot we didn't get to.
But this was great, man. Now you got me thinking. But I'm not mad that I only have the couple that come to mind. You don't see Miss America every day.
Well, and this is from the 650 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Michael Jordan caller wins. Everybody else go home. Like, nobody saw Jordan.
Did he say Panama games?
I think he saw him. He said at Kansas State.
Yeah, at the arena.
Yeah, just anyways, that is a great story. And that's cool. Everyone's got a story like that, if you really think about it.
Is it
might not
Dibs
be Michael
and Willard
Jordan.
Have one? Because I'm asking. You better
well,
ask
how about we find out there on the other go. Side? All right, that's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. The crossover, Evan Infersteiny with Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're back after this. That segment brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.